We're talking this hour about some of the most memorable interviews we've done over the past decade. One of them was in 2006 with the renowned biologist E.O. Wilson, who's the founder of sociobiology and one of the world's leading experts on ants. He had come to the University of Wisconsin, where we produced this show, to give a talk about one of his heroes, Charles Darwin. And while he was in town, Steve Paulson pulled him into our studios for an interview. What do you remember, Steve, about that? It was the first time you met him, wasn't it?
It was the first time I'd met him in person, yeah. And well, he's one of my heroes and, you know, great scientist. And by this time, he was in his mid-70s, and he kind of has that sort of old Southern courtly charm about him. But, you know, obviously incredibly smart. And the thing that I love about E.O. Wilson is that he's a brilliant scientist, you know, who deals with the smallest things in the world, but he also is willing to speculate about the biggest things, about why we're here. And, you know, he has this kind of philosophical perspective that he brings to what he does, to how he thinks about the world. And we got into a subject that I'd never heard him talk about before, which is the relationship between science and religion.
This was the beginning of something pretty big for you, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Some people might say I got a little obsessed with this subject. And E.O. Wilson had never really talked about this much publicly. And so he came into the studio, and I wanted to know what he thought about, you know, can science and religion be reconciled? And he had all kinds of things to say about it. And so it was kind of thrilling to me. And these are my favorite kinds of interviews where you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you have this really smart guest, and it goes off in a completely unexpected direction. And it was thrilling.
Actually, it's one of the best things about many of the interviews we do, when the guest hears a question that he or she really wants to talk about but has never been asked before.
Yes, yes.
That's what happened here.
It is what happened here, and it kind of launched us onto a whole series of programs about science and religion. We ended up doing 2 5-hour series on it, and it became kind of a hobby horse for me in particular. And so it was, it was very exciting to that moment talking with him.
All right. So let's listen to that first interview you did with E.O. Wilson.
If you fully accept the theory of evolution by natural selection, does that logically lead you to atheism?
Well, it does, up to the origin of the mind and spirit. And the Catholic Church, for example, has taken the position just recently, turning thumbs down on intelligent design, incidentally. John Paul II took the position that evolution has been proved pretty well and certainly was acceptable, as I suppose he would have put it, God's way of creating life. But the human soul was injected by God. So that's a kind of compromise position that a lot of devoutly religious people have taken.
But that's a funny position, because the question is, when did the soul enter? I mean, you know, if you take evolution, I mean, at some point, humans evolved out of something before, and does that suggest that all creatures have some kind of soul, or do only humans have a soul?
Yeah, of course. There is no reconciliation between the theory of evolution by natural selection and traditional religious view of the origin of the human mind.
Now, this is not a view that all scientists subscribe to. I mean, Stephen Jay Gould famously talked about how he considered science and religion to be two entirely separate spheres, and they really didn't have anything to do with each other.
Yeah, he threw in the towel.
He dodged the question.
He dodged the question famously. That's no answer at all. That's just evasion. And I think that most scientists who give thought to this with any depth, who understand evolution, take pretty much the position that I have taken.
What about the sense of awe, of wonder? Certainly that's something you hear about all the time among religious people, and you also hear about it from some scientists as well.
Well, you do. You'll hear about it from me. Awe is, that's a hard one to put exactly into words. But it certainly involves a sense of the mightiness and splendor and almost indecipherable intricacy of something greater than ourselves. A lot of mysticism of religion arises directly from it, but it's equally experienced by the secularist whose mind opens to the splendor and intricacy of the material universe.
Well, part of the reason why I asked this is I've talked with some atheists who have suggested that what they really need is a spiritual atheism. They need this sense of awe. They're competing against the religious stories, the religious traditions that have been passed down over the eons with very powerful, emotionally powerful stories. Does the scientist, does the non-believer need that as well? Can the non-believer have that?
The answer to the second question is yes. The answer to the first question, do they have it, is usually no. The problem with secular humanism is that it does lack it.
Well, would you be comfortable in saying that science can have a sacred dimension?
Sacred, yes, in the sense of spirituality. The story of the origin of life on this planet, the time scale, the magnitude of it, the complexity of how it's put together, all of that together engenders in me probably even more awe than I ever felt as a devout young Southern Baptist growing up.
Well, let me follow up on that, because I've heard you call yourself a deist.
Yeah, I don't want to be called an atheist.
Why not?
You know, being a good scientist and having been drawn up short so many times on my own theories, as all honest scientists are, I don't want to exclude the possibility of a creative force or deity. I think that would be a mistake to say that there is no God or supernatural force. And mark you well, I'm making a distinction here.
Right, I'm ready to pounce on this.
So. That, you know, who started the creation. As Hans Küng, the theologian, once said, how are we to explain there is something and not nothing? Well, that's a question I'm happy to leave to the astrophysicist. But I do feel confident there is no intervention of a deity in the origin of life and humanity.
So that's the distinction between theism and deism. And so
that is the distinction between. So I'm not a theist, but I'll be a provisional deist.
But now, just so I understand this, to be a deist, you're saying that maybe there was some creator, some presence.
Maybe,
that set
maybe that has not been discounted. That's not discounted yet as a hypothesis. That's why I put the word provisional.
But it's fascinating because everything that you've said up until now suggests that you should be an atheist. I mean, why sort of hold out that specter that, well, maybe there was some divine presence that got the whole thing going?
Well, because there's a possibility that a god or gods, I don't think it would resemble anything of the Judeo-Christian variety, or a super intelligent force came along, started the universe with a big bang, and then moved on to the next creation. I can't discount that.
Hmm. Let's just play this out for a moment.
Yeah.
If there was this creative, whatever you want to call it,
intelligence all right,
that got our universe going, what happened to that intelligence? Go off to the next universe?
Well, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I said.
Did it just sort of, you know, 15 billion years either, ago, it left and went somewhere else?
Well, they're either now lurking on the outer reaches of the universe, watching with some amusement as the eons passed to see how the experiment worked out, or they moved on. Who can say?
I think this actually is of great importance to, I mean, when we're talking about this whole question of science and religion, because there are a lot of people who discount the literal interpretation of the Bible. I mean, that does not square with modern science. And even when we start talking about God, I mean, that's such a loaded word. I mean, what if we put that word aside? Can we talk about energy, some sort of cosmic force?
I say leave this, I leave this to the astrophysicist. Because they are the ones...
Not the religious scholars.
Hmm?
Not the religious scholars.
Oh, of course not. They don't know enough. Literally. I hope I'm not being insulting. But you can't talk about these subjects now without knowing a great deal of theoretical physics, particularly astrophysics and developments in astronomy and so on, concerning the origins of and evolution of the universe. But one thing we may very well be able to understand, start to finish, we haven't done it yet, is origin of life on this planet. And that's what counts for human beings. I take the view that the human species has evolved to be a biological part of this biosphere. We belong in this biosphere. We are intimately connected to it in our physiology, our psychology. And this planet actually can be a paradise if we use our intelligence to make it so.
You're sort of saying that humans have purpose here.
Yeah, they have purpose to live long and be happy.
More than that, they have purpose to be good stewards of this Earth.
I believe so, yes. You know, when you unpack happiness into satisfaction, fulfillment, vision, awe, and I think it will be reached not by traditional religious faith, but it will be reached by knowledge and human self-understanding.
That's E.O. Wilson, the Harvard biologist, talking with Steve Paulson. After that interview, Wilson went on to write a book about science and religion, which is called The Creation.